Thank you, Kim. Yesterday on the stream, I had mentioned it was my son Michael's 18th birthday. He wanted steak for his 18th birthday. I said, oh, Gibson's, Morton's, Ruth's, Chris, where are we going? He said, Mom, will you grill it for me? I wish we would have talked to the guest we're having on now yesterday, because I may have ruined my bone-in ribeye. Jamie Pervyance, Weber's Master Griller. We're talking about the new cookbook, Weber's Greatest Hits. Jamie, I could have used you yesterday.
I wish I was there, and congratulations to your son.
Thank you. I was actually on the Weber site because I need to get new grates for my grill, and some very helpful things there and recipes. I even got my meat thermometer out, and you can go from really rare to a little bit well done in a matter of a minute, can't you?
No kidding. Yes. There's a short little window there.
I slammed it shut on myself.
Oh, no. Wendy, if only Jamie had the power to time travel, we could go back in time. That's too bad.
But now, how many times do people get a great steak? A bone-in ribeye is one of my favorites. And salt and pepper, maybe a little of olive oil. You want the meat to taste, you know, you don't want to cover the meat flavor. But how do you do it? You sear it on the first side for a couple of minutes, and then do you keep flipping? Do you flip once? What's your recommendations?
Well, flipping once is a good idea, and also keeping the lid down as much as possible. An inch thick ribeye steak like that should really only take maybe 6 or 7 minutes. So it's 3 minutes or so on each side with the lid down. And, eventually you develop a little sense of touch. That's one way to check if it's done. There's another thing that you might want to invest in, which is an instant read thermometer. There are some that you just put the probe in, you can see the temperature right there. Then there's a cool new one called the iGrill, where you put the probe in and it connects to your smartphone, so you can actually look on your phone to see exactly what the temperature is. So 125, 130 degrees is when you want to take it off for medium rare.
And then you do let it sit. I covered it with foil as suggested, because you want your steak. Why do you let it settle like that? But it continues cooking. What's it called when you do that?
That's carryover cooking.
Okay.
Yeah, even when it's off the grill, it's still warm, so it's cooking away. It'll probably raise another 5 degrees or so.
That's what pushed me over the edge from medium to medium well.
You carry over too much.
Yep. Oh. Damn it.
There's another technique that you might want to try at some point called the reverse sear, where you get a little bit more control over the doneness. So what you did, it sounds like, is you just started searing it right over the fire immediately, which can work well if you're really experienced. But if you want to take it a little easier, you start the steaks over indirect heat, very low indirect heat, and you kind of slow roasting them for about 20 minutes or so. But the heat is so low that you're not overcooking them. That way you cook them nice and even throughout, and then at the very end, you sear them over direct heat. And that way you're less likely to overcook it, and it actually makes a more tender steak.
Well,
that sounds
good to
easy.
Know.
One
that's
of
easy.
The expert tips in Weber's Greatest Hits.
Jamie, explain this to me. I see this at Williams-Sonoma. They'll have these little metallic trays that you put over your grill, and you can cook either fish or meat on there. What's the advantage in that as opposed to just having it directly on the grill itself?
Well, I like to have food directly on the grill.
Yeah.
I think that's why we like grilled food. It has that charred kind of caramelized quality.
Yeah.
So that's ideal. There are some cases where a pan, particularly a perforated pan, works well. You want the holes because you want that smoke coming through and flavoring the food. So examples include, when the food is so small that it might actually fall through the grate.
Mm-hmm.
If you got chopped up mushrooms or little rock shrimp or, tiny scallops, something like that, they do really well on a pan. Some people like to use the pan for bigger pieces of fish because they're a little easier to turn that way.
Oh.
They don't tend to stick to the bars so much.
Yeah.
But in my world, if you can put it down on the hot grate, you're going to get better flavor throughout.
All right, gas or charcoal? Because I have a Weber gas grill, a silver Genesis B that's kind of old,
oh,
but is
nice.
Awesome.
Nice.
I like gas because I like to go out there and turn it on and get cooking right away. What's better?
Yeah, I like gas too. In many cases, there's nothing like that convenience, and you can quickly change temperatures from low to very high in just a couple of minutes. So there's a lot going for gas. Charcoal fanatics will tell you, and I have to agree, that the flavor is different on charcoal. Depending upon the type of charcoal, you get that really woodsy, smoky quality of outdoor cooking. It means you got to invest a little bit more in time and managing the fire, but charcoal fanatics think that it's well worth the time. So, for me, it's like gas is usually sort of the midweek grill, and then the charcoal is the weekend grill.
When you have a little more time, right? Is that what you're basing it on?
Basically, yes. Yeah.
Do you have two grills, Bill?
No, I just have the one grill.
Gas?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's it.
I like it. We are talking to Jamie Previance, and we're talking about the book, Weber's Greatest Hits. More than 115 recipes, including beer marinated chicken tacos, best on the block baby back ribs. Is it okay to parboil a rib?
No, it's not.
Oh, darn it. I really will flunk everything.
Don't
then.
Do it, Wendy.
That's how I do it.
No, I mean, it'll make the ribs tender, but when you boil ribs, you're pulling really good flavor and moisture out of the ribs, so you're compromising.
I'm surprised you didn't hang up on us there, Jamie.
I know,
was sure you'd hang up.
Wrong.
How many books is this for you, Jamie? You've written at least a dozen, right? More than that.
I've written a few more than a dozen. Yeah, I've done, at last count, it was about 2,500 recipes.
That's tremendous.
So a lot. And for Weber's Greatest Hits, the challenge was to pick the 100 or so best. So we did a big online survey. We asked Weber fanatics, what are your favorite recipes? So this book has them all, which is really nice because you can just be assured that no matter what you pick in the book, it's going to be a winner. It's been totally vetted, tested many times. It's a greatest hit.
All right, people feel pressured to grill on Memorial Day, and it's coming up. This is Memorial Day weekend. What are some of the favorite foods that people like to grill the most?
Well,
burgers, I would.
Have remained the same for decades. Burgers, hot dogs, steaks, chicken pieces, and ribs. Those are the big ones. And actually, there's a section in the front of Weber's Greatest Hits where I give like two or three tips on each one of those categories, because they are so popular and because people continue to make mistakes with them year after year.
I didn't hear shish kebab in that list, Jamie. Did you purposely leave it off, or is that no longer in vogue?
Well, I don't think it's as big as the other ones, but no. Sure, there are a lot of. Are you a shish kebab fan?
Very much so, yeah. I love that.
Uh-huh.
I kind of screwed that up two nights ago because I swear to God, I got to read this book. I put some foil on the grill. I marinated them in a teriyaki sauce and made my own skewers. And it again, I go from worrying about it being raw to it being overcooked. What can I do to prevent that from happening?
Well, one thing with shish kebabs is that you should really only have one or two types of ingredients on each kebab.
That's
it. If you've got more than that, then you're trying to nail the perfect doneness on two or three different things, like tomatoes and mushrooms and onions and the beef. It becomes very complicated. So when I do a shish kebab, I usually just do all beef on one kebab or all shrimp on another kebab or all chicken or all mushroom. And that way, each kebab gets exactly the right amount of time. And then, I have to say, the reason I write cookbooks is because I want people to have reliable times and temperatures.
Yeah.
So if you follow the recipe, the doneness is not an issue. It should be perfect.
But then the trade-off, Jamie, is you're not getting the flavors kind of melding together as they cook.
And that's the presentation. It looks kind of nice.
Right. But again, the sacrifice is the flavor. You want good flavor, right?
Yeah, you can combine occasionally, but just make sure that what you're combining all cooks within the same window of time.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
What's your favorite thing to grill, Jamie?
Steak. Like your son, I guess. It's so gratifying when you get a beautiful, charred, smoky steak hot off the grill.
Next year on his birthday, Jamie, could you come into town into Chicago and make him a steak,
Michael,
please?
Yeah.
Please?
I'd love to.
All right.
Yeah, I'll do it. I have a bone-in ribeye that is smoked with thyme. So I use actually thyme sprigs, which is sort of a woodsy thing, like wood chips, to flavor the meat. It's really good.
Oh,
so
that
I'll come and make
good.
That for him.
All right.
All right. Can I partake in it, too? I'd like to eat it, not cook it.
You
know, can you just admit, though, that I think practice makes perfect. I used to grill all the time year-round because it's on our back porch and even in the winter. And I haven't grilled in a couple years, and I feel like I've lost my touch. Can that happen?
I think so. Yeah, it's a little bit like playing a sport. You know, when you get back into it after a while, you're a little rusty, but soon you get a little groove going and you feel more in tune with your grill. A lot of it is just controlling the fire and managing the heat to be at the right level. You might have high heat on one side and low heat on the other side and knowing when to move from one to the other. It takes a little practice.
Do you ever still make mistakes, Jamie?
Oh, yes.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, I tend to push the envelope a little bit. I mean, for example, I start doing now a lot of cooking in the embers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take a steak and I'll put it right down on burning coals, which sounds like a ridiculous idea, right? You just think it would be incinerated.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is.
Oh.
So, yes, I make mistakes. But if you do it just right, this kind of coal-cooked or ember-cooked steak is pretty amazing because you get the real flavor of the wood permeating the meat, and people love that.
You know how the coal gets ashes on it, though? Isn't that get all over your steak?
There sometimes are some coals that stick to the steak, and I'm glad you mentioned that because with that technique, you want to use 100% pure natural lump charcoal. So it's nothing but wood.
Right.
So it's not like there's petroleum or anything in there.
No. There are no additives whatsoever. It's just wood and meat.
Still, Wendy, you might want to run the steak through the dishwasher before you eat it, just to be safe. Try that.
Listen, I had a lot of flare-ups, and this is an old grill, and I went to Weber.com last night. And, I mean, I really will say that Weber is not trying to get new money out of you. You talk about the flavorizer bars, and it says as long as there aren't holes in them, you can use a putty knife or maybe an SOS pad and scrape them down. Oh. Is that where the flare-ups are coming from? Is my flavorizer bars are just too dirty?
Yes, that's right, because if the bars are coated with grease and carbon and whatnot, as soon as that stuff is heated up and reignited, you're going to get some flare-ups. But if you clean it off, then you won't. Then when the fat and the juice hits that hot bar, it just turns into smoke, and that's really lovely because that flavors the food.
And what do you recommend as I replace the grates on our grill? Do you go cast iron or do you go stainless steel? Which does it make a difference?
There is a difference, sure. They're obviously different metals. Cast iron takes a little bit longer to heat up, but once it gets hot, it stays really hot. So you can put a cold piece of meat down on there, and it'll still sear it really, really well. So I love cast iron personally, but stainless steel works beautifully as well. So it's really close, to be honest with you.
It's pretty easy to maintain your Weber grill. Mine's really old. I changed the igniter on it myself. Totally worked. It's really easy to keep up, and they last a lifetime.
Yeah, Weber makes grills forever. It's not a great business model, you know, as you say. People aren't replacing them very often. But the good news is once you've got one, you know, you're going to have performance for many, many years.
So you have to pick up this cookbook, Weber's Greatest Hits. Jamie Previance on the line with us. Weber's Greatest Hits will give you a bunch of new recipes so you can cook forever and ever and ever.
115, Wendy. That's how many are loaded into this. That's tremendous. Jamie, great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Bill and Wendy. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
Happy Memorial Day.
You too.
All right, let's take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.